welcome everybody to the Second Court of Appeals. Thank you for being here today. We have one case that will be argued at 10 o'clock. And we're a little bit early, but you're already here set up, so we thought we'd just come on out. Before we begin, I do want to introduce the panel. To my right is Justice Dana Womack, and to my left is Justice Mike Wallach, and I'm Chief Justice Bonnie Sutterth. And before we hear argument, I'll ask the clerk to please call the case.
The court will now call Alexis Botello versus the state of Texas. And may it please the court, Mr. Warren St. John to argue for the appellant and Mr. Steve Thunder to argue for the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. I please the court, Chief Justice Sutter, Justice Womack, Justice Wallach, who I don't know, but I've heard good things about. I've known the other two judges for a very long time, and I've known Mr. Connor now. We talked about it. I've known you for 29 years now. We're just getting started in friendship. On a more serious note, I'm here to argue the case today regarding my client, Alexis Botello, and I'm sure the court has had an opportunity to review the briefs and look at the fact situation, but in a nutshell, my client was a 15-year-old girl who became pregnant from a Marine. They never married. At some point, she met a man who I would suggest, and I don't like to use this term lightly, was an evil individual who took advantage of Alexis and her immaturity in terms of sense of responsibility. Alexis had a child with the Marine, and I'm not going to name the child here, would not be proper, but at age 15, she was pregnant. She met Josh Beard on the internet, which is that's a great place to meet somebody on the internet. They got a relationship going and moved to Arlington when Alexis was, I think, 17 years of age. At some point, to show the initial controlling aspect of Josh Beard, which is very important for this argument, is Alexis was not even allowed to go to her graduation in Weatherford because Josh Beard had already struck her in the face and she had a severe bruise. So that shows you instantly how controlling and manipulative Mr. Beard was of Alexis and her precious little baby daughter. At some point, he became very violent towards the young girl and continued to abuse her as a horrible tool of control. Beard would basically tell, and this is through testimony of my client, basically tell Alexis, if you want me to stop hitting your child, then you need to have sex with me. That's a horrible controlling factor. So part of the defense was the issue of coercion or necessity. That my client was, in essence, compelled to basically not really let Beard do what he did, but not really tell the authorities. But Alexis did testify how physically abusive he was and how controlling he was. I guess one of my main issues is I wanted to address the court with two previous relationships that Mr. Beard had by folks, two young women named Rachel Jameson and Madeline Love, which I talked about. We had a hearing outside the presence of the jury, and I made a proffer through. I didn't put the women on because the judge says it wasn't necessary, but based on their previous trial, Beard, those two women testified as to what Beard had done to them, and I tried to put it in through two different theories under the rules of evidence, 405B, and then I put in under 406. Now, I didn't get a specific ruling on the 406 issue, but I would suggest the court, by the trial judge denying those two issues, the trial court excluded the testimony of the two women. It affected a substantial right of my client by not allowing the jury to hear the testimony. In other words, we had the defense of duress, which the judge did put in the charge, or coercion, that but for Beard's abusive conduct towards my client, this would have never happened. And of course, Mr. Connor didn't really argue this, but the stated trial said, well, so she's not a great mother because she didn't basically take the place of her child's death. And I argued to the trial court and to the jury that she knew that Beard would kill her if she didn't try to do what she could to save the child's life. So by the trial court denying the ability to put those two people on the stand and testify as to that relationship, it effectively took away her defense of duress. Now, I'm not saying the jury would believe the two women, but it's a tool that I didn't have at trial that could have affected the outcome of the trial based on what the jury did. So I specifically, I think I really put it in my brief because I thought the testimony of the two women was very important. I know the court has asked for exhibits of, I think, the Walmart video where they're buying some shovels, which is horrible. The video of the two interviews of my client, the first one, the second one, I think a 911 audio, which I hope the court clearly takes the time to listen to. If you look at the Walmart video, the state argued that it was not duress or coercion when Alexis went with Beard to get the shovels to bury her baby in Poolville, Texas. And I went out there, by the way, and it was underneath the bridge, and that's a tragic place for a young baby to be buried. Horrible, horrible place. But I still would suggest to the court that that was not something she wanted to participate in. It was based on his absolute controlling and evilness. And I don't use that word lightly, as I mentioned to the court before. One thing that was very important is how controlling Beard was of Rachel Jameson and Madeline Love. And in that proffer, which is not before the jury, in that proffer, exactly the type of behavior that he did to them, he did to Alexis. And so I would suggest to the court, it's very compelling that that been admitted into evidence. And, you know, it's a substantial right that was denied. Now, I didn't make a 406 specific, the judge didn't rule on the 406 issue, but I would suggest to the court that by him denying that, 405B and 406, it clearly is a violation of the Constitution and the rights of due process. So I'd ask the court to take those issues in consideration.
May it please the court, Stephen Condor on behalf of the state of Texas. I think this case is really, the focus is what sort of liability and responsibility do parents have? The statute charges that we have a legal duty to prevent the commission of offenses where it was our duty to protect these children. And the case law has shown that a parent has a duty of care, control, and protection of their children. And that they can have criminal liability from harm done to them with knowledge that someone else is abusing them, and that they make no reasonable effort at intervention. I think this is case what about. I mean, no one is going to come up here and say that Joshua Beard was a wonderful person, because he was clear was a horrible person who killed this child in a horrible manner. But that doesn't absolve the defendant of her role in this. She willingly got involved with him. She had opportunities for other people to take the child, even if she wanted to stay with him. There were prior injuries which she didn't seek medical attention on. She didn't seek medical attention after the last set of injuries. She didn't contact the police. Even after, I think what's telling is, even after Beard was arrested and the police came to the home and talked to her, he's handcuffed in a patrol car and she's still not telling them about what happened. And then she continuously lied to people about what happened to the child, well, almost up to the time she was arrested, where she would tell people that it was with somebody in Houston, the child was with somebody in Houston. I think if you look at her overall conduct, it shows she did nothing to protect her child. She did nothing to try to seek attention for her child. And she did nothing after the fact to show that she had any concern about her child at any point. I think this case is clear-cut. That's why there's sufficient evidence that for the murder, there's sufficient evidence for prior injury to a child. I think the tampering is very clear-cut, that she went and she willingly assisted him in burying this child so that there would be problems with it. The exclusion of these defense witnesses, I think we've kind of laid out in our brief that, yes, even though these witnesses were not allowed to testify, their relationship never got to the point where they allowed him to physically harm somebody who they had responsibility for. And I think that the evidence that she felt like she was under Beard's control was fully before the jury, and that this evidence would not have had any further impact upon the case. And that's where the state feels that an affirmance is called for in this case. Unless the court has any questions, the state will rely on its brief. Thank you.
Most respectfully, as usual, Mr. Connor, very articulate in his argument. The problem is the two high school girls went under the control of Beard in terms of living with Beard. They lived with their parents still, but they still had the same type of abusive treatment by Beard, sexual assault, controlling, don't put makeup on, don't do this, don't do that. I can't remember, one of the girls, I do remember one of the girls was pregnant, don't get an abortion. There's all sorts of issues that Ray controlling. The biggest distinction is Beard didn't have those two girls live in his presence. Those two girls were a little bit older than Alexis. They didn't have a baby to worry about. And Mr. Connor's absolutely right. The law is clear. Being the parent of three children, I know all of y'all have children. Being the parent, we have an absolute responsibility to take care of our kids. And I would suggest I will do that, everything I can for my kids within legal reason. But she might have been a woman biologically, but she was a child mentally in terms of her development. She was under control of Mr. Beard. That's so critical for this court to really look at. I don't know if the jury would have believed those two women or not, but the issue is the judge should allow us to have the opportunity to present those testimony of those two women to further establish my burden of proof of duress or not self-defense, of duress, to show how controlling Beard was of those two women. Alexis did her best to do what she could for the child, but she was always concerned, and she testified to it, if you have an opportunity to read through the testimony, that I even asked those questions, why didn't you seek help, Alexis? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And she was afraid for her life and her family. The key thing is her family didn't live with Beard, but Beard knew where the family lived, and Beard told her, and through her testimony, if you do something regarding reporting this child's injury, I'm going to kill you and kill your family. Well, what does she accomplish if she does that? What does she accomplish if she dies, but Beard somehow can kill her family? She was doing everything she could to control the situation based on her skill and ability.
I have one question.
Yes, Your Honor.
You're saying it should have been admitted under 406, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, 406 speaks in terms of habit or custom to show that the defendant, the person who has the habit or custom, acted in accordance with that custom. Here, it sounds to me like that's not really the offer. You're trying to justify her conduct by virtue of how the other women had to live as well.
That is true to a certain extent, but just because she was convicted under the law of parties, that's my reasoning and argument for 406. It doesn't have to be the habit of the defendant specifically, it would be the habit of someone else. So that was my argument.
But her habit's not at issue.
Well, no.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize. That's okay. Correct. But under the law of parties, his conduct caused the death of the child. Therefore, it should be legally admissible under due process.
Yeah.
Anything else, Your Honor? Thank you, Chief Justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we appreciate your argument today. It's been helpful. Your case is now submitted. And we stand in recess.
Thank you.
All right.